Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Rhyme Alarm, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
What's up? Dieter, what's happening?
Good to be. Good to be up in your attic.
Back on the home court, welcome to the Net Live. Yes. The 18th of October.
I feel like our crowd's gotten bigger.
They just keep on going. We've extended that section. What is going on? 18th of October, Tuesday morning for once. Welcome to the Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. It is our pleasure to be here. Myself, Kevin Barnett, along with Chris Geeter McGee, live in the home court.
Good to be here.
And via Skype, just before his imminent departure, Reed Pretty from Huntington Beach.
What's happening, Kevin? You know, it's actually the 19th down here. I don't know what's going on up there.
You know, I got the wrong date. It's on the outline and everything. I just read the outline, kind of like a trained monkey. So, yeah, 19th.
Kevin, I feel like I saw Reed more when he was in Russia than when he was when he was in Orange County.
He doesn't like to turn on the video chat when he's here in Orange County. I get to see his place, you know. All that is behind him is just trophies and pictures of him. Giant gold medal framed right behind him.
It's embarrassing. And that one picture of him in his Hurley gear with the hood on, you know, that really sexy model picture that he took.
Yeah, he's looking sort of disconnected and brooding. Yeah.
Speaking of seeing each other, I was in Vegas a couple days ago, flipping through the channels, and I hear Geeter's voice calling a football game. Just happy to see it.
You know what I love about that story, Kevin? I love me some me.
Yeah.
I'm so glad he was in Vegas listening to me.
That
fantastic story.
That OATO. My favorite TO quote of all time.
I know.
Hey, let's give you a little preview of the program today here on the Net Live. We're going to talk about the men's national team disbanding. Everyone's out of here. Reed is one of them. The women's national team getting ready for world champs. Roster, we think, is decided. They're leaving in like 3 days. Roster decided, not announced. We'll have a little bit of chatter about that.
Do you think there'll be some controversy? For sure. Is there always?
I like that there might be.
Yeah.
That there is some question about roster spots, that somebody could beat out somebody else, or you take a player because they have this talent or that talent, that there isn't enough talent and enough players to pull upon to make that case.
When you were playing, was there one that sticks out in your mind where someone got left off?
Ooh, the biggest one was the 2000 Olympics. Tom Sorensen left home.
Sorensen?
Right before. Yep. Tom Sorensen not taken to the 2000
games.
That was a big deal.
In 2000. I mean, in 96.
In 96. Right? Sorry, played in 96, right. One of the all-time greatest arm swings you'll ever see in the sport. If you ever get a chance to see some video of Tom Sorensen, he played middle, he played opposite, he played outside at one point. Unbelievable arm swing. One of the laziest men I've ever met.
The year Pepperdine won it in 92, because Tom and I played against each other all 4 years, he was the reason. They had a great team. Dane Blanton, Dwayne Cameron, Lee LeGrand. Chip was a freshman setting, but Tom
Alon Grinberg.
Alon Grinberg, who they stole from Israel.
Yeah. An Israeli was 32 years old.
They have a Northridge title. So I was just going to say that. But
10 years
Tom Sorensen was just that guy that you have to win a national championship. He just stepped up at the right time and was the best player in the country at that time.
Yeah, he was a great player. And on the national team, he was good at times, bad at times. But this is a guy who would literally finish practice, go home, sit on the couch, and drink until the weekend was over, and then get off the couch and come back to practice.
And watch, like, Cheers and Happy Days. Didn't he know, every sitcom
ever? Oh, unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable. Last I heard, he was Tenon Bar in Racine, Wisconsin, his hometown, living in his brother's basement. It's the last information I have on Tom Sorensen. Unfortunately, because Tom's a good guy. I just wish that he had a better work ethic, and I think it eventually caught up with him and surprised him when he didn't make the team in 2000.
Great guy. Funny. Everyone liked him on the team.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very, very popular man, but not a great work ethic in Tom Sorensen, unfortunately. What else?
I'm tweeting to get more people in the chat room because I don't like how many people are in there.
I like it. Get in the chat room. Get in there live. Check it out. More ABCA College Weekly coming up. We have Dave Reed coming here today. A lot of good stuff to talk about from the week that has gone in women's college. We have also a lot of action on the beach. A lot of talk about the beach over the last couple of days. We've been efforting on getting some information. We have some just in. Who knows what's going to happen? Who's running tours? How many they're going to be? What kind of players are going to be there? There's a lot of stuff there, so we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the instability of the beach. How does that affect college sand? We have an opinion on that. And trivia. A little bit of trivia contest somewhere here. Something to give away some Mikasa stuff. Reed has some things he needs to give away.
Yeah, I've got some Mikasa stuff. I've got some Mizuno stuff to give away. I mean, we're clearing the closets today.
Got to get rid of everything right before you go to Russia because you're about to get all brand new stuff. Well, let's get it out of the way, Reed. Let's talk about the men's national team because I want to know what the plans are. You're taking off for Russia tomorrow morning, right?
Tomorrow evening. Yeah, you know, that's just the reality is a lot of the guys were playing in Italy or around Italy just stayed there after our last match and joined their teams. And so that's just kind of the nature of the beast. We're fighting side by side, and then as soon as that last whistle is blown, we take off.
So you're out of here. A lot of other guys are already gone. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions for me as a fan and having done the games here and watched the season. Unanswered questions for me are who's going to work with these outside hitters? I think Matt Anderson is behind. I think you have a couple other young guys in there who could benefit. So who's going to work with these guys? Who's going to work with the setters? We've talked a lot about the setting. The setting has been a big issue. And will Loy Ball be back? Reed, you're going to play with Loy Ball.
Yeah, I guess I'll find out.
Yeah, are you going to convince him? Do you want to be a little rabbit in his ear there or what?
Every time I talk to Loy, actually I just got a call from him a few minutes ago, and that's probably the first time I didn't mention it. I always joke with him about when he's coming back and stuff like that, just as a joke. But, you know, I would hate for the takeaway after this World Championships to be looking for somebody outside of our gym. If Loy comes back, obviously nobody's going to debate that, and it would be awesome, but I think there's so much in our control that can change and that we can learn from and grow from to become a better team. And I think what you talk about in terms of guys getting experience and working with particular guys, I think that overseas, a lot of those guys, Matt Anderson, Paul Lottman, those guys all have contracts in Italy. And you know Italy is one of the best leagues to gain experience. And I'm hoping those guys will have long leashes there and be able to get the playing experience that they need and deserve.
Yeah, it's tough to play in Italy. It's a great league, and hopefully those guys continue to develop. It is a much better opportunity for a guy like Matt Anderson than going to Korea and absolutely dominating people. He's going to have good competition. He's going to face great matches every single time out. So I like that. You know, talking about players in the gym or not in the gym, yeah, you don't want the solution to be outside your gym. You want it to be in your control. I think undeniably Loy would be a benefit to the program. But I don't think you guys are that far off. I don't think it's that big a jump for you to get into the medal round and have an opportunity to play for the world championship. Obviously, you didn't play your best volleyball against Italy, but the thing is, it's not that far a jump, but it's a tough jump to make to refine your play at that level. And you get to the international level, the difference between being very good and getting cut off the team and not making a world championship team is minuscule. So I think it's the same thing. To go from being sixth to move on up to second is a big jump for you guys, but I think you can do it.
You know, I hope you're right. You were right about the world championships, but you know, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he's a big Buffalo Bills fan, and he was talking about how there was a new ownership, new management, everything, and they're just cleaning house and really focusing on a core group. And I was just thinking about that as it relates to our team, and it's always tough when you have as much talent as we have in the gym right now. You want to give everybody a shot, but at what expense to, you know, the formation of a team? And we're set, you know, volleyball is such a team sport, so I think there's always that balance to be played to not be always focused on personnel decisions and then try to figure out how the pieces, you know, form a single unit.
Hey, Reed, at what point do the setters start looking over their shoulders if there's all the talk about Loy Ball returning and what he could add to the team? I mean, don't these guys kind of need to be the man, so to speak?
Certainly. If they're not aware that he's still playing and winning and one of the best setters in the world, you know, there's something wrong. I think everybody's aware of that.
They listen to the show, they know that.
But I think the guys are the setters are working as hard as they can. You know, it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. I love that quote from Doug Beal.
In talking about who should be back and kind of a core of players, you guys had a great core in 2008. You had yourself, Loy, Millar, Hoff. I'm leaving a bunch of people out, but there was a great core of players who had been through the war and kind of seen everything and finally ascended the throne there in 2008. But now I have a couple of questions about some of those guys, and that is for Riley Stallman in particular, really seemed to get the snub again from a coaching staff, a new coaching staff who doesn't necessarily value what he can do. And then he kind of had a regression, had an incident with getting suspended, and I think there have been some big issues, some health problems for him. My question is, will Salmon be back in a meaningful role next year? It's kind of rhetorical. We'll just have to wait and see. I think he's a guy who can add value. And will Hoff be back as an assistant coach? I think there was some good stuff coming from Tom, from what I heard from you, Reed, that in Tom's transition from being a player and really a player coach towards the end to just a pure coach. Will he be back next season?
Yeah, I sure hope so. I mean, like I said last week, there was a tremendous value that he adds and experience, kind of been there, done that guy, and able to bridge the gap in communication. And the one awesome part, I've said it on the show before about Tom, is he's one of those all-in guys. You know, he doesn't have one foot in, one foot out.
Right.
And he's not afraid of what that could look like. If it looks overly passionate, maybe to some people, he puts his full heart in there. And, you know, you bring up Riley. Riley's a guy that has so many intangibles that adds to the group. So I think it'd be hard to not have him be a part of this group. He adds tremendous value when he's playing at his best and contributing to the team. He affects the entire group.
Is it strange for you to look around in practice or you know, be in those matches and not see him next to you?
Yeah, there was one time I remember in the World League when I was just kind of coming back and having that in-and-out experience just with stuff going on off the court. And I remember looking around at one of our matches against Russia. I think we were in Kansas and just seeing a bunch of new faces. And it was a strange feeling. But it's good. It's a good thing to – I mean, I think what we all want is for this team to be successful on a long-term basis. And that's why – you know, it kind of hurts the pride to see Brazil just so dominant year in and year out. And I think that we all want to aspire to that, and that's what we're working towards.
And looking forward over this next professional season, the question was, who needs to get better? Who has to go overseas and become a better player and come back into the national team gym and add? The short answer for me was everybody. Everybody has to make that a value. 6 months, you're away from your team, you're playing these matches, you have to come back better. But then I had a few names on there. I think Evan Paddock is a big one. Evan Paddock had a contract in Poland, skipped out on it and signed a contract with a team from Korea and took off to Korea. We detail he played with the Korean Air Jumbos at the UC Irvine tournament a couple weekends ago. Now he's taken off to play in Korea. Maybe not a great option for him if he's going to really come back better. I don't know. Or he'll regain confidence, which he seems to have lost. He hasn't played very consistently, and he'll come back a more confident player. We know physically he can compete. Matt Anderson, we talked about him in Italy. I think he's just behind development-wise. I think a lot of expected of him. He needs to get stronger, and he needs to be more consistent. I think he's a pretty nice volleyball player, but he's got to be stronger if he's going to be an impact player. I think Sean Rooney, he's got to continue his growth. I like Sean. I've questioned him for a long time, but I think Sean, when you talk to him, he's doing everything right. He says the right things. He's got a good view of team. He's got a good view of himself, and I thought that he played very well at the end of the year here. Showed some fire, showed some leadership, kind of took on a new role for him, and I'd like to see him continue to do that. I think the biggest one for him is he's got to stay healthy. He's got to keep those knees healthy so he can continue.
I can't hear us.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we're back. Let us know if we're back. Not sure what happened there. We lost all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
There we go.
Now that's censorship at its finest right there.
They've got a little protocol that's...
Everyone's saying they can't hear us.
Like national security. It says, we heard the words FIVB and critical commentary in the same blog post, and it's all out. It's all out.
So we're not on right now.
We should be back on. We've got BTR host.
I got everybody telling me no.
Oh, this is horrible radio. We're going to have to cut all this out. There it is. Brian McDermott, thank you so much. Welcome back.
Wow. So you guys didn't hear us heckle the FIVB at all, did you?
Wow.
We had a full conversation, all of us angry at the same time, which is rare on this show.
You'll have to get the podcast, I guess.
Yeah, all the more reason to tune in for the podcast. Free on iTunes. Just search The Net Live or search The Volleyball Network. Insert iTunes. You'll get us.
FIVB is like Big Brother. I swear to God. Like they cut us off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I love it. All right, let's move on to the women's national team. We've already talked about the men's. Let's move on to the women's national team.
The men's that nobody heard?
The men's that nobody heard. You can catch it on the podcast. Don't know how many minutes that was. You know, we thought we had it all wired. It's been so good for weeks. It's good to get back to our roots where we're just indiscriminately getting kicked off the air. I can't wait to play music over Reed talking later. Women's national team roster, we think, has been picked. We think it has been picked, but it has not been announced. They're not telling anybody, and as far as I'm concerned, secrets don't make friends. I had a little conversation with the media personnel there, Bill Kaufman, back and forth last night about this whole issue, and he says it's a Hugh McCutchen decision, that he does not want his roster out there too early. He doesn't want his opponents to prepare for his roster.
I thought he didn't want us to talk about it.
Maybe that too. But I don't understand that. I don't get it. I'd love to talk to Hugh about that because I don't get it. Brazil announced their roster on the 15th of this month, October, and just said, hey, Maria's not going to be there. Paola's not going to be there. Here's our roster. Here's who's going to play. I don't understand the tiny competitive advantage you may gain by someone having a couple of fewer days to prepare for whatever decision you've made at outside hitter. Everyone knows Logan Tom's going to be there. Everyone knows Stacey Score is going to be there. Everybody knows there's a few players that are going to be there. There's maybe one or two spots and maybe a couple of subs that – could you really prepare for them? How much are you gaining by not putting that information out there? And the other side for me is I think you're gaining by putting the information out there, getting the conversation started, getting people interested and starting to plan around their schedule to catch your event, watch your team, and see if your player choices pan out. As it is now, you have to wait till the event, and it's sort of an afterthought. Oh, that already happened? Well, I wish I would have known about Kim Glass coming back and displacing Megan Hodge or whatever the decision may be. I wish that people had known about that, and you could talk about that before and get excited. Make it a part of your day. Like, make it a part of our show.
Like any other sport, you mean?
Yeah. And I understand.
You imagine in fantasy football, they wouldn't tell you? My computer would blow up on a Friday or Saturday morning.
You know there's coaches out there that hate it, by the way. Hate it. You know, Belichick is
– everyone's always questionable.
Right.
Even Tom Brady every week.
Broken leg, probable.
Yeah. Probable.
For the next week.
It's kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles right now, right?
Oh, my God.
Two starting quarterbacks.
DeSean Jackson definitely not going to play after that vicious hit.
A hit. I don't know if that happens on Saturdays at your flag football league, but I got to tell you, that was a real hit.
Yeah, that was
frightening.
I was in the couch and went, oh!
I know. It got you out of there.
They say he doesn't remember it. He remembers his touchdowns. He had two touchdowns already, but he does not remember the hit. I'd shove that one from my mind, too.
I mean, I love football, and it's at an all-time high in popularity, but there is a lot of talk about the injuries from because I cover high school. I mean, all the way up, and it's getting serious. Maybe more people start playing volleyball.
The concussions became a big discussion over the last month or so, and now with what went on Sunday. Unbelievable. Just so many vicious hits. And now they're saying they're going to suspend people for those kind of hits. No warning, just straight suspension.
Rodney Harrison had a good point, you guys. He said, I think, and Tony Dungy said this on Sunday Night Football, you'll see over the years they're going to start – completely teaching different technique. So the kids coming up in football will always be going for the waist. At least they think. I mean, because you're going to have to because of all the fines and people getting injured.
They had a college player get paralyzed from the head, from the neck down on Saturday because he led with his head absolutely like a missile into the player. Just a very dangerous situation. Luckily, in volleyball, we don't have that. We just have people like me tearing up knees.
I mean, Reed hits the ball pretty hard, but if it hits you in the face, you're going to get up.
I think I got a concussion from Mike Lambert one time. It really hurt.
I mean, if Reed blasts you in the face with heavy heat down the line, that's going to hurt.
He's not that strong.
Okay.
I'm not scared of him. Clay Stanley, yes. Reed, no. I mean, it would hurt a little bit, but I wouldn't touch it. Clay, he might actually injure me. Sorry, Reed.
Hey, I know we're getting off topic here, but we had a Jamie Morrison, our stat guy from the last quad. He's now assistant coach with the women's team.
Yes.
He had to step in on a few practices, and I think it was in the same week The first time he got hit by Clay was on a serve, and he wasn't even on the court. He was standing by the pole and got a direct shot to the noggin.
Oh.
And then it must have been a few days later. He was actually playing like left back, and Clay just lit him up down the line. Never seen somebody take a six-pack so well, though. He was just kind of like, next play. His nose was like near his ear. It was crazy.
When I played in Belgium, we only had 10 players on the roster, so the two assistant coaches would play back row. These two, like, 40-year-old guys in the back row trying their best. Myself and Walt Weismans, great Belgian player, now plays in Italy, has for a long time, just would destroy these guys. And one of them had a mustache. We used to make a joke about the guy getting his mustache spiked right off his face. You'd hit him in the face, and you just see the mustache floating through the air.
I mean, any guy that's rolling a stash in the back row, it's just beautiful.
He's from a different era.
You're going to go for it.
Getting back to the women's team. What do you think the expectations are for this group internally from the players?
After how well they did?
After how well they did. They won Grand Prix. They beat world number one Brazil in five. Great match.
I mean, you guys know more about the international scene and the game and probably have a different expectation. But for me, semifinals. Top four.
Medal round.
Medal round, right, Reed? I mean, after you win the Grand Prix and you beat Brazil...
I think they do make it to the Final Four. I think that when you see the kind of preparation that they've had, you know, especially this tournament being so late in the year and they got such a great start, and we've already had several of the girls on the show, and it's starting to sound like the way we sounded in 08, where everyone's kind of saying the same thing, things like process and, you know, we're just trying to be our best. You know, when you get a group on board like that, good things are going to happen, especially when you're playing against these pro teams that have a tendency – Or these other countries that have a tendency to be more selfish, you know. So I see this team going far.
I think anything short of medal round is a complete disappointment. I think if they win or they finish second, I think that's a success. If you make the final, I think that's where they ought to be. I think the critical part will be to manage the expectations from the players. Having had the success now already in Grand Prix, I think their expectations will be pretty high, and they have to not get frustrated if they suffer a couple of early losses or they have a couple of tough matches. I think that's going to be the issue. Teams to watch out there, if you're going to watch it, I imagine it'll be on FromSport.com or some of the other free services out there. We'll be able to find it. It won't be here on United States television. So maybe we can get some of the other areas. The FIVB TV will come through if no one owns the rights, that type of thing. We'll have to see. But teams to watch, Brazil, of course. They're not 100%. They don't have Paula. They don't have Marie, but they have plenty of good players. The United States, Italy, traditionally has been a good team. They've struggled a little bit recently, but I think they're still a team to watch. Poland is a team to watch. They're a very good team. They have to see if they can come together as a team. I think they're the women's team out there with the most talent and has underperformed in the last 3 years. Russia. Russia was not in Grand Prix. Russia has big, great women, athletic, tall, strong. They're going to be tough. And can China regain any bit of what they used to have?
That's what I was just going to ask you. Because in the beach, they've really made a big push. Where are they now in the indoor game? Because in the 80s,
they used to be excellent.
They're the best.
Oh, late 90s, yeah. Early 2000s, they were unbelievable. Ranked number one, had a great team, really a terrific history with Jenny Longping. And they have a tremendous volleyball history and volleyball talent. They have not been able to put it together lately. They have one great player, Wang Yimei, their opposite. Good young opposite.
What is it? The physicality of the game? Is it?
I think they're just missing one or two players.
Gotcha.
They need a couple outside hitters who can hit, who can complement her, and they need to get back to running their system. They don't play quite as good a defense. The coach got fired after Grand Prix or resigned, because they just had a poor system. They were making uncharacteristic errors for a Chinese team or for an Asian team that typically handles the ball superiorly, and it just wasn't happening. So we'll have to see if they can get back to playing a better system. I think those are the teams to watch: China, Russia, Poland, Italy, Brazil, and the United States. Should be a great tournament. We're going to take a little break here on the Net Live. We'll be right back. We're going to talk a lot about the beach. Stuff's been cooking. Lots of different things out there. We've got good information coming from all over. We'll have it for you next here on the Net Live on the VolleyballNetwork.com. Right back.
Hey parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15, the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dan.
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Welcome back. The Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Streaming to you live from the Redondo Beach home court, where it's a little bit of a rainy day here in Southern California. Myself, Kevin Barton, along with Chris Geeter McGee holding down the home court, and we have Reed Pretty live from Huntington Beach, where we think he's a day ahead of us. We talked a lot about the indoor national teams, the men's team disbanding. We will see them again in May or June for World League. And the women's team headed off for World Championships coming up here in just a couple of days, heading off to Japan.
We really only had a couple of shows with Reed here in the home court. It hurts.
He doesn't care about us. Doesn't care about the show, except when it comes time to sign the checks.
Those fat checks.
Yeah, giant fat checks.
Hey, Reed, we have an announcement to make on the show for the first time ever.
Here we go.
Everyone ready?
Let's do it.
The guys knew, but I don't think the chat room knew, that my wife is pregnant with our second child, and we found out the sex of the baby last Friday, and it is a girl.
Yay!
Hey.
We're going to have two daughters in here one day watching Curious George.
Sisters, baby.
I thought I was having a boy. I was pretty convinced this time.
I'm just thinking about your dowry. You need to get your cows and sheep, and you need to get that herd up to snuff so you can give those women away.
Yeah, I mean... I don't know, but when Dr. Suman said, at first I thought it was a boy, but I wasn't quite sure what to think there. Glass case of emotion. Then Elise talked about Curious George. Jess is, lying there on the table.
Yeah.
And then she said, you guys are having a girl. I don't know what the first thing I thought, Reed, was, okay, that's two weddings. I mean, that's long for me to think that's two weddings I got to pay for right away. It wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so excited. It was two weddings.
Two weddings, $80,000. How many events is that? Let's see.
I'm going to put pressure on my kids. You have to get full scholarships. I'm going to be that dad. I'm very excited about having another girl. As long as they're healthy, I know that's an old cliche. It really is the one thing that matters.
Do you have Millie on the under 4 sport check team already?
Yeah, it's called the Sport Check Sisters program, and she's going to be out there. I have video of her already bumping if you guys want to ever see that website.
Club volleyball, start saving today.
Now, how do you guys going to approach the name game?
Well, she's given me a few days to realize that I'm not going to have a son named Jack. Have a son named Jack.
Jacqueline.
Jack. Jacqueline.
Jacqueline.
But we're just now kind of starting to throw some out there. I know she's really excited, and she's got some names already put away.
Callie.
That's my wife.
Callie. C-A-L-I.
Interesting. Not going to happen, but not going to happened. But I hear you. I mean,
I'm trying to think of anything that goes with McGee. You know, I actually had a neighbor by my old house that their last name was Bird. Named their kids all kinds of funny stuff. Can't remember name, but one stuck with me. One kid was named Thunder.
Thunder.
Kid's name's Thunder Bird. Bad enough your first name's Thunder, but Thunder Bird. Seriously?
Thunder Bird.
Oh my gosh.
You know, it's funny. You know, when people would first meet Millie, they'd be like, "Hey, Millie Vanilli, Millie Vanilli," and Jess would just go, "No, it's just Millie." I mean, she doesn't want you giving her any kind of weird nicknames. I mean, it's Millie. I mean,
it's inevitable.
So she's never going to go with the Cali or the NorCal where she's from or
NorCal.
Sacramento McGee. Yeah, she's not going to do that.
Sacramento. Sounds like a gangster. Sacramento McGee. All right, let's get to this beach issue here, Reed. There's been all kinds of rumors flying around. There was supposed to be a players' meeting today that was canceled. There was supposed to be an announcement today that was canceled. I've heard a lot of different things from a lot of different sources about what's going to happen with the AVP and our good friend, supporter of the show, Nick Lowen. We don't know what's going to happen. Rumor here is, here's what I've gathered. Nick Lowen allegedly is going to plan a five-stop tour, which would include Miami, Huntington Beach, Hermosa Beach, Manhattan Beach, and Chicago. And it would be prize money that would be paid out in a cumulative fashion at the end of the season to the top eight finishers. And that would be the AVP program, I guess, as it was tentatively proposed at one point by Nick. And that in conjunction with some events from the USOC or USA Volleyball, perhaps the FIVB. There's a lot of different things like that. There's Corona Wide Open out there, a lot of different options. But the stuff we were starting to hear was mainly about what's going to happen with the AVP and what Nick Lewin's plans are for the AVP. It sounds like he doesn't want to get rid of it. He doesn't want to bankrupt it or sell it to somebody else is what it sounds like.
Well, from what I keep hearing, there's definitely interested parties, but I don't think any of these parties have capital behind them yet. I think every party wants to get in. And they want the players first on board. But if I'm a player, why would I jump on board with anybody until I know there's something substantial there? I mean, what's the point? I mean, I think players are just sitting around waiting to see what's going to be out there. I mean, a five-stop tour, I mean, I know we're going to have to cut back and change operations, but a five-stop tour, I don't know what that does for us. And my question to Nick would be, don't we owe too many people money? Like, how are we going to have this tour? Who's going to come back and work for you? You have no staff.
I think it's run out of his basement. Nick in his basement with the AVP, kind of like our show. Maybe he has a loft.
I mean, that's my question, you know. And I haven't talked to him in a long time, but when I do, if he ever contacted me about doing announcing, that would be my question. Are you going to pay this person? Are you going to pay that person? There's people out there that's still owed. How can we then come back and run a tour?
I would say you better get the money up front.
Yeah.
You better get the money up front. I know you mentioned the players, and Reed, you had some thoughts about what the players have been up to.
Well, yeah, you know, to Geeter's point, I totally agree that it would be premature for the players to jump on any particular faction. However, to sit around, I think, is a wrong move. I think what the players ought to do, and this is what we've kind of been hearing in terms of themes with the people we've had on our show, is that they got to unite. They have to. I mean, the market's going to depict what their value is, but they're significantly more valuable as one unit. And I'm worried in terms of some of the things that I'm hearing that there's just still some off, non-realistic views of what players are worth or what players want or what particular players want, whether it be, you know, guys, girls, top-ranked teams or lower-ranked people, you know, whatever. By far and away, just like you heard us talk about, if you didn't hear it, catch it on the podcast, but we just hammered the FIVB and the fact that there's no checks and balances. There's no checks and balances because there's no players' union. There's no players' association. And I think that if the players – I think the right move, in my opinion, right now, irrespective of what's happening on a business level, is for the players to get together and say, we need to come up with some sort of association where we have one voice. This is how we're going to vote. This is what's going to happen. If you cross the picket line, there's going to be some sort of hefty ban and penalty, and that's just that's my thoughts on it.
And that's the PVA, right? I mean, isn't that what Hans and a couple of the guys are getting together right now?
I think, from what I've heard, at least from what they started 3 or 4 years ago, that was the track that they're on. I'm not quite sure what they're up to now, but that was the track that they were on, and it was the right track. And of course, the hard part about that is that any particular entity that has some capital behind them we'll kind of start hand-picking particular athletes, whether they be the top-ranked or whatever, and it just kind of dissolves the whole thing. And I think this is a great opportunity, while nobody is making offers at a particular moment, for the players to get together and say, we're better off together than we are apart.
You know what? I was talking to Kevin about this before the show started, Reed, and that's the one thing about beach volleyball and the problem we face as players, I'm not saying I'm a player, I'm just saying we in general, that everyone's at a different stage in their life. You have the guys and the gals that are, you know, 29, 30 years old and need to, you know, either go one way or the other. You have people that make good money because they're top five players. Then you have the players that are ranked number 20 that are making nothing. And then you have your players that just love the game and are trying to get in and are qualifiers. Everyone's at a different stage economically, mentally, everything. So people, it's really hard to get them on the same page because you have that low grinder that's going to be like, dude, I'll play in Karch's thing. I'll play in Nick's thing. I'll play in the EVA. I mean, people are going to go all over the place because they're like, I just want to play, and I'm trying to scrounge to make some money, you know? So it's really hard to get on the same page.
347-677-1525. Give us a call. Tell us about your thoughts on this or thoughts on the national team, anything we've talked about so far today. 347-677-1525. We want to know what your thoughts are on what's happening with the beach, what it will come back as, who should be involved, who shouldn't be involved, where the solutions might lie. I think a couple interesting points in there talking about market value, and I think that's going to be one of the big discussions that we've heard it already about whether you should participate in the Corona Wide Open towards the end of this past summer, and Kerry Walsh being rather vocal that the players shouldn't be bought for the purse money that was out there for Corona Wide Open. I think the beach players need to come to the realization that they're not worth what they thought they were. And I said this last week. If you listen to the show, I said this last week. They are not worth the money that the AVP had been putting out there because the AVP was losing money. As far as playing for some of the big players, look, if you hold five tournaments, you pay the top eight players, you're paying the same eight players who are already making money in the FIVB. I think those players have already gone there. And while that's great for those players, for those top groups, it's really not going to do anything to sustain the talent or sustain the tour long-term and allow someone to climb out of that 23-year-old, just out of college, learning the game, trying to be a professional situation. And when you talk about being banned from something, Reed, when you talk about unifying players and being banned from something, banned from what? We don't even know what you could be banned from at this point. So I think it's hard to instill any discipline on anybody. The players are just going to have to decide, or a majority of the players are going to have to decide to go one direction and hope that that works. And I just wonder what percentage of players you're going to have. Do you need the top people? Do you need the middle 50%? Who do you need in order to make that work?
I think it goes back to what Geeter said, you know, different life stages, and it's hard to unite people. And I think when you have this sort of situation, the people at the top, they really don't – it's not advantageous for them to unite. It's just for the betterment of the sport. So you have to have people come together and, you know, the guys at the top are probably the ones that are going to have to initiate it. Yet it's not going to really benefit them, but it's going to be the best thing for the sport. And that's a hard thing to ask of people, especially when everyone's fighting for – you know, whatever scraps remain.
That's a great point. It's going to take vision from somebody at the top who has the money, who has to give something away, essentially. And we've dealt with this in the indoor national team, too, where we wanted a salary system, where I wanted disclosure of salaries, and it was going to take people who had those higher salaries to say, this does not benefit me, but I'm going to disclose it for the betterment of everyone behind me. It's going to take that kind of vision. We've got one caller in the queue. Got a couple callers in the queue. Welcome to Net Live. Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Eric Sullivan.
Yeah.
Hello?
I put it at 90%.
Eric,
I got it.
Sullivan.
Hello from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hello from Lincoln, Nebraska. A place where much beach volleyball, I'm sure, is played in bars.
We play on our indoor sand court on the campus that we owned, the only university in the country.
Do you dominate it, by the way?
Ooh, Geeter. Yeah, I'm gonna have to say yes.
You try and sandbag like you did in the spring?
He's a totally sandbag people.
I'll tell you what, Coach Cook still got a little game in him.
Does he really?
Yeah, he can slop it around. I mean, he's one of those guys that's kind of got the cagey old shots, even though he hasn't been in there a little while. You know, he's like 3 feet below the net, and he's just chopping it somewhere. You have no idea.
Esau, did you fully panic yesterday when you went on to log on to thevolleyballnetwork.com and there was no net live?
Yeah, I freaked out.
I got a text. There's no show?
Dude, my tone and my text was definitely not, is there no show? But I did panic a little bit. It was kind of ruining my day, but I survived.
Well, good. What's the update from Nebraska? Give it to us while we got you on the line.
Well, we, you know, things are kind of, well, things are going along, you know. Hello.
There he goes. Faded out. I hope everyone else can still hear us. I know we lost Reed Pretty.
Maybe
it's the lightning here in Southern California.
We have the FIVB listening and Dan Madden.
can you still hear me? Hello?
We are reconnecting now. And much to the delight of Dan Madden, we got rid of Eric Sullivan. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We got another caller on the line. 615, you're on live with the Net Live. What's going on? Where are you calling from?
I love it when you guys mess up the show. It makes my day.
And Rosenthal, former host. You have an opinion. Tell us something.
Do I have an opinion?
Yeah, on what's been happening. Are you just calling to hassle us? Because this is killing our listenership.
I just was listening to the show, and then when you hung up on Sullivan and messed up the show, and it just made my day. I don't know what else to say. I mean, come on. It's funny stuff. Sullivan on the horn going, hello, hello, hello. That's funny.
Hey, I got a text from Reed Pretty. Power outage. You know, a little bit of rain here in sunny Southern California, and everybody freaks out.
You guys might laugh about this around the country.
Yeah, they're going to laugh
when
about
it rains here, we should just shut the schools down.
It's half the newscast. Storm tracker!
Everybody panics. Storm of 2010.
We got a quarter inch of rain. Panic time.
I mean, it drizzled.
The best part about it, and this is being of Southern California moving away, is you guys complain about how you never get any rain, and then when it does rain, it's like, oh, no!
It's, you know, everything's more dramatic here. We're trying to tell a story. It's Hollywood, baby.
I love it.
Not drought, it's fires. If it's not that, it's mudslides and torrential downpours of an inch. An inch a day. All right, we got Eric Sullivan back.
Later,
we'll
Brandon.
See you later, Brandon. See you.
Later.
Hey, hello. Yeah, right when we started talking about what you really wanted to talk about, you just the power went out. So I don't know if Texas is listening in or Dan Madden, but somebody cut you.
Yeah, I don't know that I buy that.
We just love that when you come on, you go, hello, hello, hello.
you guys don't have enough information maybe we got a caller on. That's what I get. We got a caller. Who is it? I don't know if it's me or.
It's all French fries on the board. That's when you call for some reason. From the state of Nebraska, all we have is 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, which doesn't even make any sense.
Sully, you guys running away with the Big 12?
Ooh, I wouldn't say running away. We're one game. We play tomorrow night. We play Tech at home, and then we're halfway done. We're halfway through the double round. And right now we've got a two-game lead over Texas, and we'll play Texas in a week. So, I definitely wouldn't say we're running away with it. We are doing some nice things, but definitely could be better. And Texas is making a nice little push. You know, they've been playing probably the best volleyball they've been playing all season the last 3 or 4 weeks.
You know, I saw the Oklahoma match last week with Texas because I was doing the LSU match, and we had it on our monitor. It was on before. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma looked not bad and looks like they're playing pretty well. And at home, they look tough.
Yeah, you know. I picked Oklahoma in that match, and I thought they had their opportunities and kind of let it get away from them. They've got a very different system. They've got a lefty outside that has problems hitting on the left. And so when they get into some two-hitter rotations, they kind of stack everything over on the right, which can lead to some issues if they're not passing well. But they're a good team. I'll tell you what, their setter's a scrappy little kid, and she's hard to play against. She throws it around, and they've got a couple nice athletes, and they're good. I mean, they're tied for third with Iowa State, and Iowa State's a pretty good team. So,
Sully, I have Florida next week, Florida and South Carolina, Florida number one in the country. I know you played them really early on, I believe, first match of the year. I don't think you've lost since. But what can you give me on Florida?
You know, Florida's good. They're big and physical. They play the game pretty well. And, you know, the biggest thing they've got going is Murphy. Murphy is a really good player. She's you know, probably one of the top three or four players in the country. And when she's on, well, she was on against us. Let's just say that we didn't have an answer for her. And maybe that's changed now. I don't know. Maybe we're a little better, but she lit us up and we couldn't slow her down. And so, you know, focusing that much defensive attention on her probably helps everybody else perform a little better on their team. And then, like I said, she hit for a nice number and, you know, we couldn't stop her basically. And so, you know, we had our opportunities to win that match. It wasn't like they came in and blew us out.
Yeah.
But they're doing some nice things. And, you know, I'd be shocked if they don't run the table in the SEC. So I'd imagine they're going to remain number one throughout the rest of the season.
So is there a team out there, I know outside of the top teams, Florida, Stanford, you guys, Hawaii, SoCal, who out there do you think is perhaps a dark horse who's playing pretty well that it's on your radar?
Gosh, you know, it's such a good question. It's kind of a fun year to kind of watch the madness going on because it just seems like every week, I don't know, four or five of the top 15 teams are losing, if not more. And so, you know, I think it's one of those years where there's probably, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 teams that all have a realistic shot of getting to the Final Four. And most years it's maybe six or seven. And so, I don't know, you can look through and I think any of these teams, you get into Northern Iowa at 14 or Colorado State at 15, Oregon at 16. I don't know about those teams. I haven't seen them play. But I would imagine if they're playing well at the right time that you're not going to be too excited about playing them. And then obviously you get into, you know, the top three or four teams in the Pac-10, the top three or four teams in the Big 12 and the Big 10. I think all of those teams have the opportunity. It's kind of going to be who's rolling at the right time and the matchups that occur in the NCAAs. I mean, that's the other kind of wild card in all this. You can't really predict. You know, it's not like the men's basketball where true seeding occurs. You know, you can do the right things, and there's so much parity this year. You may just get a really bad matchup on the road, or it's going to be an interesting year to see how all that pans out. So, you know, I think it's kind of wide open.
Yeah, there's always seeding problems when it comes to women's NCAA volleyball, but I think, Sully, that this could be the year like Santa Clara back in 2005 and Tennessee. It's going to be one of these years where a team that's, you know, maybe seeded 15th, 16th gets to the Final Four.
You know, it's definitely a possibility, and it's more of a possibility, I think, this year than in years past. But at the end of the day, too, I mean, it could easily be kind of a 1-4, too. You know, I just think it's easy to say, yeah, there's all this parity. But, you know, playing in the BCS conferences, I think, really prepares you well for the NCAA just because you're seeing that constant. You know, we're playing Tech, who's in last place, and, you know, watching them on film, they're an okay team, and they're fairly athletic, and they do some things, and, you know, whereas in some of those other conferences, you play the bottom team in your conference, and it's just a crushing. So, you know, I think when you get to those times, some of those non-BCS schools are going to have issues playing, you know, three, four great teams in a row and being able to survive that. So, I don't know. You never know. It's an exciting year. It's fun to watch. And we're just kind of putting our blinders on and trying to focus. I know it's cliche, but one match at a time.
Sully, we love it when you call in. Thanks for the info. We got to move on to the actual College Volleyball Weekly. Talked about half of it right there.
Sweet. Hey, thanks for not turning the power off on me the second time.
Yeah, all right. We'll hang in there here with the drizzle we got going.
Yeah, see you, all right. See you guys.
All right, Eric Sullivan checking in. Hello. He's got great information just, you know, getting that coaching stuff going.
Cool. He's a friend of Michelle's, okay.
Arizona State had a big week in association with the American Volleyball Coaches Association. The Net Live is proud to present each week the College Volleyball Weekly, an update to what has gone on the previous week. College Volleyball. They earned it. All right, joining us here today is Dave Reed, our normal correspondent. Dave, welcome back to the Net Live.
Hey, thanks. Don't hang up on me.
No, we're going to try our best. We've got all sorts of technical difficulties going on here. People trying to call in with our host pin and all kinds of wild stuff. So if you do get disconnected, just hang in there. So, all right,
I
Dave,
can do that.
It was a big week. A lot of stuff going on there in college. Have to start with Arizona State. Great week.
That was incredible. You know, you just can't say enough good things about the Sun Devils in the Pac-10 right now.
They defeat Southern California, number 5, and they defeat UCLA, number 10, inside the same week.
Yeah, you know, and that's something that not even the top teams do. So, you know, hats off to the Sun Devils. This shows you how good the Pac-10 really is, how deep it is, and that anything can happen on any weekend in that conference.
Oh, very good. What else is on your radar from this past week?
Well, you know, I think Sully was hitting it on the head. You know, the upsets that were happening inside the top 25 and inside the top 10 have just been ridiculous this past year or this past week. You know, this week, six teams in the pack or in the top 10 lost. You know, it's just unheard of what's going on. You know, Mary Wise and I talked about it last week a little bit, and, you know, Sully thinks she's in Florida are going to run the table in the SEC, and I think she's scared to death. I don't think she's looking forward to playing Ole Miss or Auburn or Georgia or, you know, this week they have Tennessee. I think every time you go into a match now, you know, it doesn't matter what conference you're in, doesn't matter who you are, you really got to play your best and take your opponent seriously.
Dave, I saw LSU last week. I did their game on ESPNU. They run one of the fastest offenses in college volleyball. If they're a team that passes well, they could get hot and make a run in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, no question. I think Fran's doing a great job there. You know, they ran into a tough match with Ole Miss. And, you know, the SEC East has gotten a lot – excuse me, the West has gotten a lot better. The East has been where the power teams were for, you know, quite a number of years, especially with Florida being over there and then Kentucky and Tennessee coming back. And LSU kind of had it to themselves. But, you know, Ole Miss is getting better. Auburn's getting better. It's really just an interesting year down there.
Yeah, we got to talk about Illinois and them losing their All-American to Buehler.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big hit. In fact, I don't know if that's one they can recover from. You know, Colleen Ward obviously is going to be the leader there. You know, they have the freshman Orozco that played really well when DeBruyler was sick. But, you know, that's going to be tough. And the Big Ten's so deep that, you know, it's – who knows what's going to happen there. You know, Penn State's starting to get it together. Michigan's playing really well. You know, they're kind of like the Pac-10. It's on any given weekend, you know, anything can happen there.
You know, no one's talking about Pepperdine. They've won seven in a row. I think they've won like 11 of 12. They play St. Mary's on Wednesday night, ESPNU. The WCC conference, that is a big match, and Pepperdine's starting to play a lot better.
They haven't even cracked top 25.
Yeah, they're not getting any love in those rankings.
Right, and you know what? They should be, but they're going to get their chance this week with St. Mary's, and then they go and play San Diego. You know, and that's a battle for the top three in the WCC. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that could this be a year that a team like Santa Clara get back? Tennessee was there. You know, I think it could be. You know, their team, San Diego, they play one of the toughest schedules in the country. Their pre-conference schedule is ridiculous every year. So, you know, I think that's a team to keep an eye on that could make a run because they do have good players and they play in a really solid conference.
And looking at the top 10, number 1 through 4 were all static. Florida, Stanford, Nebraska, Hawaii. You had Cal move up 1, Illinois move up 2, Washington stayed there, and SoCal dropped 3. So USC is kind of on this up and down cycle with their play.
Yeah. You know, but again, I think that's just the nature of the business in the Pac-10 that, you know, they could get hot and run off, you know, 5 or 6 wins in a row, and it doesn't matter who they're going to play because they are a talented team. You look at the top 5 teams, they've all got 1 loss, and they don't have a bad loss. And I think that's the trick right now for any team out there is to avoid the loss that you really don't want to take. You know, when you look at Florida, their only loss is to Stanford. Stanford's only lost it to UCLA at UCLA, you know, the night after beating USC. So, you know, you really got to take that into consideration.
How about a team like Arizona and Dave Rubio, what they must be going through after last weekend? I believe they lost 16-14 to UCLA and then the next night 17-15 to USC.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of 5-set matches back-to-back. I mean, you certainly don't want to do that against those caliber of teams, especially. It's going to take its toll on the second night, but you know, Dave does such a great job there, and they're always well coached, and they're going to knock off some teams. There's no question. And you know, Arizona is definitely an NCAA tournament team, and they're one of those teams under the right circumstances, with the right draw, and a few things happen in their bracket, they could go pretty deep in the tournament.
That's an interesting thing because we talked about this last year when it happened. The Pac-10 had some teams that were miserable. I think it was Washington or Washington State had a sub-500 record, but had beaten up on teams outside the Pac-10 and got into the tournament over some other teams that had much better records but perhaps lesser conferences. And I just understand why that happens. Can't we give more of an opportunity to teams that dominate their conference, play some good competition, and let those teams in versus letting in, like in Arizona, you talk about them right now as a contender. They're 14-6, and they're 3-4 inside their conference. So it's not a great record, but they're still sitting at number 25.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a reflection of their RPI, that, you know, the committee really gives a lot of credence to the conference schedule. And, you know, in some ways they're right. So you almost have to go back to the beginning of the season to say what they did in their non-conference schedule playing teams from other conferences. And, you know, that can be tough to do because something might have changed throughout the course of the season. They might have had an injury. You know, another team might have gotten somebody back and gotten hot and played really well. So, you know, I don't think a conference should have 7 or 8, but I have no problem with the Pac-10 and the Big Ten and the Big 12, you know, going 5 or 6 deep because they are that good.
Yeah, I think you make a good point about the schedule, and a lot of these teams are hamstrung by their schedule and having to have the conference opponents, so they can only play in the early part of the season any kind of quality matches to try and raise that RPI, and your team may get better over the year, or your, as you mentioned, other teams may fall, but you're just stuck with your conference schedule, so you could do poorly in your first 6 matches of the year, not be great, but then go into your conference and dominate and really increase your abilities as a team, but it doesn't pay off for you. You don't get that chance to enter because you're hamstrung by having to schedule your conference, which is not one of the big ones.
Yeah, you know, and especially if the conferences have played double round robin, you know, something that happens early in the year, that's really going to make it almost impossible to get back to the top, you know, if something like an injury happened or, you know, you just caught fire late. You know, that's why we talked a few weeks ago about the pluses and minuses of conference tournaments. At least that does give some teams a second chance that, you know, might be hot at the right time of the year to make a run and then get into the tournament that way.
I like the excitement of a conference tournament. I like the fact that a bid is on the line and you have a chance, yeah, to be the hot team, to run through, to be the Cinderella. I think it just adds that element of excitement that sometimes is missing.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And the neat thing is it gives all the teams, you know, even the ones that aren't going to get to the NCAAs, the experience of being in that tournament setting. And, you know, that's kind of what college athletics is supposed to be about, but, you know, we all know when you get to the big time sports, you know, it's more about putting people in the arena, selling some tickets, and, you know, in volleyball's case, hopefully getting on TV.
Right, right. So Geeter can work.
Oh, absolutely.
A great point, everybody.
Dave, what's on your radar coming up this week?
Oh, you know, I am really looking forward to Cal at Stanford this Friday night. I mean, that's going to be such a great match. You know, two great coaches with Rich and John Dunning. You got two of the best setters. You know, we'll call Cassidy a setter, but she's also the right size hitter for Stanford. Going up against Carly Lloyd, Tara Murray against Alex Kleinman. I mean, there's so many little battles inside the big war that it's just going to be such a fun match to keep track of and see what happens. You know, Cal's only won there once, so we'll see if Carly can lead the Bears to another victory over at Maples.
Nice. All right. That sounds like the big match of the week.
Yeah. You know, there's some other ones, too. You know, Pepperdine in San Diego is going to be great. You know, Florida playing host to Tennessee. There's a couple more out there, Kentucky going to Florida. But, you know, I think the volleyball world's all going to be focused on Cal and Stanford this week.
All right, Dave, we appreciate you checking in. Love your information, as always.
We'll all right, guys, have a great week.
Next Monday.
You're a good man, Dave.
All right.
All right. Talk to you later.
ESPN.com. And it live in ABCA.
Dave's good.
He knows it. He knows it dead away. Something I don't.
Are you sad right now? I'm packing up.
Yeah, you're out of here. We're almost out of here. I don't even know if Reed is still in line.
I'm here.
Blake comes up.
There he is.
See, he's trying to talk over the music again. That was the College Volleyball Weekly, presented each week in combination with the American Volleyball Coaches Association and the Net Live.
Reed, have a safe trip, my friend. I got to go do a football conference call.
All right. All right, my man.
Loving you. We'll see you again next Monday.
Loving you.
Monday. Yay, nay.
Another great show, even with Big Brother watching.
Even with the FIVB kicking us off. All right, Reed Pretty, you and me for a couple of minutes. Let's wrap it up here.
I just came across the new FIVB World Rankings as well as the 2011 World League pools.
Yeah, I noticed that Japan is going to replace the Netherlands. The Netherlands is in financial trouble, can't continue paying their way into World League. So, unfortunately, a traditional world power over the last 20 years leaves the premier event from the early season of national teams, and Japan is back in.
Yeah, we're in a pool A with Brazil, Poland, and Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is a new addition.
Yeah, they made their way in. They qualified for the first time ever for Puerto Rico.
Pool B, Russia, Bulgaria, Germany, and Japan. Pool C, Serbia, Argentina, Finland, and Egypt. Pool D, Cuba, Italy, France, and Korea.
Cuba, Italy sounds interesting. I think Serbia ought to be in the final. Listening to their pool, sounds like one of the easier ones.
Right. So we've got our hands full.
Yeah, well, you guys always do. Somehow you guys are always hanging around the top five, and so being in that 4-5 spot, you end up with some rough matchups and definitely needing to play some of your best volleyball. Update one of the things we had here on the show. We talked to Lori Bowleg a few weeks back for the Lowe's Senior Class Award. Our own Alex Kelly was nominated.
Nice.
Our former intern Alex Kelly was nominated for an award that not only is about your service on the court, but more about your service off the court to your school academically and to your community at large. There were 30 nominees, and they reduced it down to 10. Now, unfortunately, Alex Kelly did not make the final 10. I know she's disappointed. Hopefully she's listening to the show. Alex, we still love you. Even if you didn't make the final 10, you should have. But one of the interesting things about it, when we talked to Lori, she talked about it not being a contest for just the biggest schools. But as I go down the list here, Nebraska, Northern Iowa, Illinois, Western Michigan, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Washington, Stanford, Cal, Penn State, there's a lot of big schools in those names, in the final 10 names. And it's just interesting to me that those players are still on there. I guess no matter what award you're giving, you can't get away from the premier players on the court for the sport.
Did she get that nomination on her work with the NetLife?
I think so, because that was considered community service.
Nice.
Well, Reed, you had some thoughts, too. We touched briefly on the beach and then kind of got on to, on to college, but we wanted to talk about how the disarray that the beach continues to be in, and hopefully we'll have more information next week on what actually is going to happen this summer or a little bit clearer vision. What effect will that instability have on the emergence of college sand volleyball for women?
I hope it has nothing. I hope it has no effect. And I guess just my thought was, at what point or where else in our sport do we see decisions being made as it impacts the professional level? I don't see that at all. I mean, in fact, we've been playing different scoring and you know, middles don't even serve in the women's game or didn't. And so I'm hoping that the momentum for this initiative continues forward, even though the professional ranks is kind of in disarray. And it's unfortunate that the AVP, I know, was really big proponents of trying to push this thing forward. But I know Kathy DeBoer and the AVCA have also been heavy hitters in trying to get this through.
I've loathed and lamented the fact that the NCAA kind of goes its own way with so many of the rules. Like you mentioned, the rules, the scoring, everything else, and they kind of do their own thing and ignore the whole professional world of volleyball out there. And I've lamented that fact. I don't like it at all. But I think if this is a case where that could be beneficial to the sport long term, like you talked about, Reed. The NCAA could continue to go their own direction, continue to develop the sport, and just say, who cares? We're the NCAA. We're going to do this. We're going to make this happen. And I'm all for more opportunities for volleyball players. I think there should be more opportunities out there. I hope that some of what people have said to me about the women's sand starting and that dragging along a men's program eventually it does happen, because I like to see opportunities for my own sport. But I hope the NCAA just continues to drive through this, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because now that situation with the NCAA has been in flux long before the beach fell apart.
Yeah, it seems like we don't get a lot of press to the high school ranks, as well as, you know, the colleges are growing. But I've been doing some work in some other states, and I've been very impressed to see the amount of opportunities that are developing, and that volleyball does seem to be growing, even though there's problems at the top. It seems like there's more high schools that have boys programs, and there's obviously tons of opportunities for girls. And so it's great to kind of get out around the country and see volleyball progressing.
That's what this show is all about. Increasing awareness of the sport and increasing awareness of our show. Get out there on Facebook. Join us there, The Net Live, on Facebook.com. We want you to sign up, and we put postings up there. We talk about topics throughout the week, different information that we have. So get out there and friend us on Facebook. Email us, thenetlive@gmail.com. We can't promise your topic's going to make the show, but definitely we read all the emails. We know what you folks are saying. We love it when you send us a little bit of feedback on the show, especially when you talk about how awesome the show is in spite of all the technical difficulties. Hey, call in right now, 347-677-1525. We want to try and give some stuff away. Reed, describe some of the things you have out there that are ready to be shipped out from Mikasa.
Well, the Mikasa, what do we have, a Mikasa ball cart? Is that what
We've got quite a cart, but I thought we were going to give away your stuff right now. That's what we want.
Yeah, but you keep saying Mikasa. I have a Mizuno men's party bag and a Mizuno women's party bag, just some gear from Mizuno. I also have Olympic button-down pants and shirt. And let's see, a bag of balls. I mean, beach balls. Now's not the day you want to take it out. I mean, it is absolutely dumping rain here.
Those are Mikasa, though. You have a bag of Mikasa balls that we would love to give away. We need a caller, 347-677-1525. Answer two questions right, and you will take home a bag of balls. Reed, what's this bag of balls worth?
They're actually Majority Wilson balls.
Uh-oh!
Yeah, you're getting me in trouble here.
Yeah, we're
just trying to clear out the closet here, Barney. Come on.
We're just going
to
cut this entire part of the show out. I'm tired. Between all the technical difficulties, Geeter just taking off. I got the cat walking across the keyboard. It's raining outside. None of it's going to work for me today. Can we talk about motocross instead?
No, the majority of our listeners are podcast on-demand listeners. I mean, the couple thousand are on-demand. So maybe we should figure out a system to where we have call-ins at the end of the week just to give stuff away after the show's already been aired.
Yeah, because it appears that our 20 live fans are just in the room. They can't call. We do have one call, 630. I think that's an Illinois number. 630, welcome to Net Live.
Brian McDermott, how you doing?
Brian McDermott, hey, you're on top of it on the chat board for the technical stuff. I love it.
I do what I can.
All right, so Brian, you call in and try and win some stuff here?
I could. I mean, just call more to talk a little bit about the season and whatnot. I was interested. Unfortunately, I kind of have to go in and out because I'm finally moved up to the D1 ranked coaching and whatnot. So Coach Rook, by the way, she says you got to let the thing go about the camp. I didn't mean to talk to you about that.
This is Noel. Yeah. Okay, so tell us your thoughts on what we've been talking about.
It's just I'm really interested to see where the beach is going to go. It seems like I know we're putting the two courts in and we're going to have the poles up and whatnot. And I know last year we traveled to Jacksonville U, and it's just interesting kind of taking a look at the different formats. The last I heard there were three formats that they were looking at, and all the people that voted yes were kind of split in thirds on how they wanted to do it. You know, I think it was kind of after the Olympics, they just kind of wanted to get it approved, and they figured out the format from there. And it's been a standstill for a couple months, but, you know, I don't know if it's going to be across the board, but I know we're moving forward with it here at Mercer, and Jacksonville already had a tournament last year, and hopefully they'll have another one in the spring, and the girls are excited for it. So even if, even if it doesn't actually get approved launcher for the NCAA, I know it's definitely – something that we look forward to using with our girls for training and whatnot. So, it's just going to be interesting to see what the colder weather area is doing. If it becomes something, even if it's just for training purposes, if it gives a school like ours an edge compared to schools up north. So,
are those courts going to be open to the general student population?
That's a great question. You know, we haven't really figured out the scheduling one. Now, obviously, until they kind of talk a little bit more about rulings, we haven't figured out exactly what, how many days we're going to be allowed, and as well as, what we're going to be able to do with the girls from the fall in regards to kind of eligibility and whatnot.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can only spend so much time with them. So once we figure that out, on the side, I'd certainly like to. I'm in the works in the spring just kind of getting the student body doing some free clinics for them. just to try and keep people involved. We've got a pretty good, you know, support from the student body and whatnot. I think the more we can get them involved, you know, obviously we've got intramurals and whatnot, you know, the more the better, you know, can maybe in the fall, even if it's just a couple more fans, you spread things word of mouth, they get to understand the game a little more. I think it makes it more enjoyable to actually attend the games.
It seems like one of these things that it's very cheap to build sand courts. It's not a huge expensive proposition like building a gym or some sort of other specialized athletic facility. And it's a very popular sport with students at large just to play, to spend a nice day outside playing. I know Penn State people go out to the courts all the time. Jay Hossack is out there all the time playing on the courts. I see pictures on Facebook. It would seem like something that a university could build not only for their athletics facility but also as a benefit to their student population. You could sell it that way to finance it through the school, and then outfitting a few beach players or getting a program going for beach really costs almost nothing in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I certainly don't disagree with that. I'm also not the one pulling the strings up top. So, you know, we're definitely the administration has been really supportive in putting the two courts, and they haven't had any issues with that and whatnot. And, you know, it's kind of baby stuff. So I definitely kind of feel the same way. I'd like to the more people we can get involved, the better. And obviously when our girls aren't using it, the more activity we can get on the course, the more exposure we can get. You know, it's going to be better for the university, better for the students, and better for the team as a whole. So, cool. You know, they should be in the spring, and we'll see where it goes. I'll definitely keep you updated on it and looking forward to it. And, you know, as a player myself, I'm kind of glad to have some sand courts. I have to go about half an hour to Warner Robins where Ty Loomis grew up. There's a nice little group there, but, you know, that's pretty much all the ball around here.
Hey, Brian, thanks for the call. Tell Noel I said hi.
All right, no problem. Take care.
All right, buddy.
All right, well, I'll make sure I send Brian the Mizuno bag.
Yeah, make sure you get something just for calling in, because he's the first guy to call in like forever.
We're not desperate.
No. The show goes just fine. I want to hear from our people out there. I want to know what our fans think, and I like it when they drop us a line, thenetlive@gmail.com.
Maybe they just agree with everything we're saying.
Yeah, that's okay. We're smart. We're the smartest people in the world of volleyball. We've known this for a while. That's why we have a show and nobody else does. Reed, you're headed off to Russia tomorrow evening. Leaving the family, I know it's kind of a bittersweet time. You're going to get back to playing, doing what you do, but you never want to leave your family behind. Your family's coming in a couple weeks, we understand.
Yeah, I got the little guy in my arms right now. He's squirming, but we got to go get him a passport today. So, yeah, they're going to be joining me in a few weeks, so I got to get out there, try to get things settled, and look forward to having them out there soon.
I always love the passport photos of the little guys. I had them for both my kids, and the passport photos are hilarious. How do you even know that this is the kid? They're good for 5 years, and by the time both my sons are five, they're still traveling with that thing. Like, how do you have any idea that this is him? This is him at like a month.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense. All right, it's been another great edition of the Net Live. Reed, we wish you the best. Heading off to Russia. We hope everything goes well. And say hi to Lloyd Ball. Find out if he can join the national team, okay?
Sure will.
All right. Party. Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you tuning in. We'll see you again next Monday for sure. Live here on the Volleyball Network. Check us out on iTunes. It's free. See you soon.